this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
With our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Maldoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me here in just a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website, redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. If you wish to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, and at Player.fm, and soon to be on Roku, once we get approved. You can also listen to the station using our own Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can use any phone using our 24/7 listener line, provided by TalkStream Live by dialing 605-562-4209. Before we get started, let's give a shout-out to our AM and FM affiliates, WJNW AM 1650, Hermitage, Tennessee, Talk Radio AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona, WMQL Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina, Kaufman County Talk Radio AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas, and WDFP Digital Radio, Atlanta, Georgia. Let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how are you doing today?
Well, I guess I need to start by apologizing for the last show and the noise that was it was clicking noise, and Primo emails me and says, you need to listen to the show, and there's this clicking that goes on, and it's annoying, and I was like, what? So I'm listening to it and going, well, I don't know what that is, and so it's me, is what it is, and I'm adjusting my headphones. I have a microphone on my headphones, which is, I guess, the slightest movement makes a clicking noise. And I've only been doing this like 4 years. I think I'd have figured this out by now.
Well, I mean, I never really paid much attention to it because, I mean, I'd hear it throughout the show here and there. And that's, you know, whatever. That's going to happen, I guess, to a certain point. But it just happened to be yesterday's show when I was reading my intro. I mean, it was like just constantly the whole thing. And I thought, what the hell is that? And so when we got on the air today, before we started the show, I'm sitting there and I'm talking to Ken. We're doing it. We have video so we can see each other. And he's sitting there while we're talking, and he's sitting there adjusting his freaking headphones, his microphone, just up and down, doing it all over the place, like trying to get it just right. And I'm going, damn it, that's what's doing it.
Okay, I'm as still as a mouse.
Anyway.
So, I won't move. Now, nothing but my lips will move.
Now, in Ken's defense, my microphone is not on my headphones. It's actually a physical, nice, standing, totally standing on its own microphone. So I don't have to touch it So that, therefore, I don't have that problem. But if I took it, started shaking it or doing something, then obviously you would hear something. But whatever. Okay, let's get started.
I'm not as professional. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, no, I just spent more money than you did.
Well, that's true.
Anyway, let's go ahead. Hey, but before we get started here, we're going to talk about Ted Cruz. Don't worry, and we're going to talk about this this whole natural born citizen thing. But we're going to do that toward the end of the show because I've got a pretty good take on this, and I basically have laid a trap for Ken.
Yes, I'm in setup. I've not been told what he's going to ask me. He's setting me up like a duck. I'm going to sit there in a sitting duck just to be shot.
Well, here's the thing. I actually came up with this in a discussion with someone else. I thought, boy, that's a pretty good take on things. And what I'm getting at is when we talk about this, we're going to talk about, you know, not a great deal, but we're going to talk about it. And then I'm going to pose a question to Ken, and I've got a feeling he's not going to answer the way he thinks he's going to answer it before we start.
You think?
I think. Now, I may be wrong, but whatever. Let's go ahead and get started on the other stuff. Obama. Did you see this quote that he had on the Daily Caller when he was being interviewed? It was reported by the Daily Caller. I don't forget who was in the interview. But Obama said that literally by hook, and he said these words, by hook or crook, I'll expand the government during his final 2 years.
By hook or by crook, I'm going to expand. Now, he didn't say that on video, or did he?
Well,
because I didn't see that.
I think it was a video interview. I think there was video of the interview.
I never saw that.
Well, he's quoted. I mean, maybe not now. Maybe I'm getting mixed. I look at a lot. People realize I read a lot of stuff. I look at a lot of stuff, and sometimes it all gets jumbled up. But I do remember the article, and I actually posted the article on the website, redstatetalkradio.com, where he says, the quote is, by hook or crook, he's going to expand government. And the hook and crook is the actual quote. I don't remember exactly how the whole thing went. But, I mean, I guess what I'm pointing to and what I'm trying to point out here is this guy has no shame now at this point. I mean, he's full in. He's totally committed to doing whatever the hell he can during his remaining time in office.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I fully believe the crooked part. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I mean, he's proven that already, you know.
Yeah.
But that's all I want to say about that. I just want to point that out that, you know, anyway. Okay. Let's talk about Hillary. That's another one of my favorite subjects.
Boy.
Do you see this this is on redstatetownhall.com, our actual show's website, that Dick Morris wrote an article saying that Hillary cannot type and that we should be looking at Huma and Huma Aberdeen and Cheryl Mills' emails on all this stuff. Because I didn't know this, but she's old style, old school. She writes everything longhand and does everything on legal pads. And then she has that and has someone else put the stuff in. And she basically is kind of like dictating. But when she wants to write a letter or an email, she does it on a legal pad, and someone else actually puts it in. I had no idea that was going on.
Do we have some legal pads we can
support? Well, I'm sure that got burned in the fire and the disaster. I mean, you know, like we talked about, we kidded about the other day that the emails got deleted. There was a fire in the server. They had the only thing they could do to put the fire out was grab a sledgehammer to try to put the fire out. And just so happens that the fire, I'm sure, will actually consume all those legal pads. I got a funny feeling. which, by the way, we found this out like Friday or Saturday, I forget, that Trey Gowdy says that not only did she delete the emails, supposedly she wiped the server clean. Now, if that's true, if they went through and used technology to actually wipe the drive, that's a lot worse than just deleting the emails, because that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, if this is true, that's criminal, because she literally, it's not just a matter of she deleted and like, oh, maybe we can retrieve them, we'll try to do that, or whatever. I mean, when you wipe a drive, in terms of what we're talking about here, you're destroying evidence to make it almost impossible to ever get back. So that leads to the question of, well, why the hell would you do that unless you had something to hide? I mean, literally. Even if we believed her, which I don't, that she only deleted personal emails, even if the problem is those personal emails were actually a property of the government because it was on her account that she's using for the State Department.
Agreed.
So that really makes no difference. But those documents, all those documents, were the people's documents. It should have never been allowed on her server in the first damn place.
Yes.
But because she's Hillary Clinton, she got away with it. And the thing is, she's probably going to get away with this. But here's the other thing that Trey Gowdy found out. Apparently, with correspondence with Hillary's lawyer, he found out that the deletion of the emails came after she was subpoenaed and requested the emails from the Benghazi committee. So, in other words, the emails were still sitting on her server. She hadn't deleted a damn thing. She gets the request from Benghazi committee to produce the documents. She goes through and they cherry-pick what they want to send to the committee. They give that stuff over. And then she deletes every damn thing else.
I'm going to tell you what I said.
And that's after the request. Now, that's, again, criminal.
No. Like I said, when you posted that on Facebook, and I put it on there, look, that's she's I hold her personally responsible for 4 deaths in Benghazi.
Oh yeah.
When you do something like that, you're like you said, that was when you put that stuff on a server, no matter whose server it is, that becomes the people's server. That becomes the government's server. That becomes things that we can go back and look at. And you delete that, you're deleting evidence.
Exactly.
And she's already come out and said it was a video, it was a video, it was a video, it was a video, just like the rest of the administration did. And yet, now you're saying your server's wiped clean? That's criminal.
Yeah. But you know what? She won't pay a penalty, a price of any of this stuff.
Well, maybe she will. Maybe she will in the long run. Maybe she, you know.
Maybe she will in terms of she won't get elected or she won't. Maybe, exactly. That might be her penalty, her penance for what she did, but like going to prison or being charged with a crime, it ain't gonna happen.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, that's the way things work here, isn't it?
Right. So,
but maybe she will get her comeuppance, you know, later down the road.
Well, if she A cannot declare her candidacy and decides not to run, or B if she runs and is forced out or defeated, I'm okay with that in a way. Of course, I'd love to see her do the perp walk and be in the orange jumpsuit. That would tickle the crap out of me. But
well, me too. But I'm gonna say, like I said last week, this lady doesn't speak well. She doesn't think well on her feet. No. She's not like. I mean, I can list you her husband for number one is excellent at that. He's an excellent politician. He just thinks well on his feet. He knows what to say and what not to say. He doesn't get rattled.
Yeah.
And she gets rattled. She has a tipping point where, it's gone overboard. Now she has to come out with something.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to get her rattled. I mean, literally. Yeah,
and that's what I like. I hope she goes in front of Trey Gowdy. I hope that happens. If nothing else, if we get a sound bite like we did the last time, that can be used over and over again to keep her from getting into office because she doesn't belong there, Primo. She has no business being there.
I agree 100%. I think most of our listeners would too. But you know what? I heard a really good line about this whole thing. Governor O'Malley, I think from Maryland, I'm pretty sure, think about running for president. He's on the Democratic side. There's an article that's posted today, and the quote, this is a golden quote. He says, quote, "The presidency of the U.S. is not some crown to be passed between two families."
Amen.
I love that. I wrote it on Facebook, and I said, I'm going to steal that. That's great. I don't care for O'Malley. I don't care for his policies. I don't care anything. But that is a very good – that's a good line. That is a good line. And it's true.
Yeah.
Because
we feel the same way about the Bush thing.
And that's what he was saying. He was basically hitting at Hillary and Jeb Bush both. I mean, that's what he was, because he's trying to post himself as an alternative, obviously, and O'Malley's certainly not one of the at least at this point not a dynasty in politics. The Bush and the Clintons, because of what's going on for the last I don't know how many years now, since Well, Bush ran the first Bush. You know, if you go all the way back to that, you're talking about, what, 1980? 80s. 84, 88. No, he was elected 88, 89, started serving in 89, I guess. So how many years is that? 20, 30?
But he ran against Reagan in 84.
Well, yeah, if you look at that, yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. And so, yeah, it goes back, gosh, 35 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton's fundraising. She's getting some crap on. Here's the thing. Not only about her fundraising while she's in as Secretary of State, but all the stuff she's doing now. She is, if she's not going to run for president, she sure is accumulating a lot of money. I'll tell you that. And, I'm telling you, her fundraising as when she was Secretary of State and getting money from Arab countries and stuff, I think that might even be bigger deal than this email thing. Right now, everybody's concentrating on email, but I'm telling you, how could you trust someone who did that while they're in office? And you don't think that they can't be bought off as president?
Well, she's never been president. And Clinton was. And Clinton was very fortunate to have a Republican Congress when he was running that forced him to do many things that he probably didn't want to do.
Welfare reform, et cetera.
And he took the credit for it.
Right.
And because he had some good years there.
Yeah.
Then they think he walks on water, a lot of Democrats. So he got the pass. This woman won't get the pass, Primo.
Well, if you look at her tenure as senator, she basically, the entire time she was senator, she passed no legislation worthy of note. And her tenure as Secretary of State is marred by just total freaking chaos. The Middle East is burning. Now, here's the thing. To give her a little credit, the Middle East has always been burning, at least as far as I can remember. But it's really on freaking fire now.
Well, but it's not just the Middle East. Look at Russia and Putin.
Well, yeah, and that's true.
Her pressing the reset button. Come on.
Well, that was her. That really one of her first failures as Secretary of State. She totally botched that. And our relationship with Russia now is worse than it's been in I don't know how long.
Yeah.
And our relationship with Israel is worse than it's been in forever. That's a lot to do to Obama, but also Hillary had something to do with that too. And just look at Syria and Yemen and Libya, and I mean, just go right down the list.
But the worst part to me, the worst part of being all of that, is we lost four people in Libya that we never should have lost. That never should have happened.
They shouldn't have been there. I mean,
they asked for more security over and over again and never got it. And then the people that were there were told to stand down. I want to know why.
And on top of that, though, can you think about this? Everybody else who had embassies in Libya got the hell out months before, and we stayed. And we should have gotten out while the getting was good.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you. I there's so many questions here, and. For the administration right now to say, "Oh, that's old news." It's they've had committees and it's, you know, we're past that. I'm sorry, no. It's there's four people that died and we still don't know why.
Yeah, I know. Let's move on. We got to try to push through. We got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Bo Bergdahl, Army is formally charged him with desertion and misbehavior. First of all, I don't know.
Let me ask you a question before you start.
Go ahead.
Okay. Here's the question. Here is the administration's take on this, and I want to ask you your comment on this. All right, Primo, when a person decides he's in active duty, he's a soldier, he walks away from his post, and he even seeks out the enemy. Do we bring them all home, even him?
I say no.
I say no too.
I don't
this
give
guy
a damn.
Walked away. He walked away, and he seeked out the opposition, and we know he did. because all the people were saying this guy's walking around trying to find
the Taliban. Where's the Taliban?
Trying to find the enemy, and then he finds the enemy, and we give up five known terrorists for this guy. And I'm thinking we bring him all home. We don't bring him home. He made a choice.
Well, not only that, the compound problem. At least six men died or injured trying to get this guy back, and it was not worth their lives and their suffering and injuries for this traitor.
Yeah,
I just said, you know, you can have his. You know, I got to watch my language. You can have the guy. We don't give a crap anymore. He's yours now.
Well, he's not. When you walk away, you seek the enemy. You're not an American. You've chosen to go to the other side.
Well, if you were an American, and at that point, to me, as far as I'm concerned, you gave up American citizenship at that very point.
Yes.
Now, if a guy deserts and he changes his mind and comes back and he doesn't do anything in the meantime, we go ahead and take the guy back, but we're going to still charge him with desertion, and he has to pay whatever penalty he's going to have to pay. But when he deserts and he goes to the other side, and he went there, he wasn't going there to negotiate peace. He was going there to join them.
Yes.
That all rules. I mean, all bets are off.
Yeah.
You know, screw you, buddy. And I wouldn't risk one soldier's at all to hunt this guy down. I just say he's a lost cause. Forget him. He doesn't exist anymore.
And we did.
That's sad because of the families. I mean, what do you tell the families that where their loved ones died trying to get this damn traitor? I'd hate to have to be the one to have that conversation to inform them what happened and why their son or daughter died. In this case, it all happened to be men, but why they died, what was the reason, what was the bigger purpose? And I'm thinking, I don't get it.
Well, I watched the interview with Megyn Kelly. Did you see the six guys that worked with this guy?
Yeah, I saw bits and pieces of it. I didn't get to watch the entire thing, but I've seen them before too. Either she and Sean Hannity. I mean, they've all been interviewed, and of course she interviewed him again after this sentence was, well, not sentence, but this charge, the official charge was brought out. And so, yeah, I'm sure they had plenty to say.
Well, they to a man, they all believed he should be charged with desertion.
Oh yeah,
it wasn't even close, and there was no dissension between any of the six.
And the thing is, everybody in his platoon knew that's what he did. Why it took months and months to determine this was stupid. All they had to do was interview all the guys that were in his base, and everybody in the base could have told you exactly what happened. I mean,
this is all a smokescreen because Obama he wants to get everybody out of Gitmo. Period. He wants to close that place. And that's just an excuse to get five of them out.
Well, plus he wanted the Rose Garden scene with the parents, because remember, this was before the election, and he wanted to make it look all rosy, and we're going after our guy, man. We're going to find, you know, we did what we had to do, and let's don't forget the $5 or $6 billion, I forget, of money they exchanged hands to get this guy back. I mean, five terrorists we let low. Ron Fournier had a good line on this. Ron Fournier, who's National Standard, I think. I forget the name of his magazine website. He was on Fox News, and his quote was, "So we took, we released five cells at Gitmo to be able to fill up one cell at Fort Leavenworth."
Yeah. And that's a good analogy, isn't it?
That's exactly what is going to be winding up happening. Now, he could get life in prison at Leavenworth, and I hope to hell he does.
I hope he does, too.
They took the thing off because he could have been executed. Apparently, that's not going to happen, and I wouldn't have a problem with that myself. I'd put him up from a firing squad.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, I just hope he gets the maximum, whatever they can do to him. I hope he, and I don't never want to hear his name brought up again once they do this. I got no use for the guy. see. We only got about a minute left. Let's do this real quick. Anthony Kennedy, Supreme Court Justice, may have showed his hand on the Obamacare subsidy case. Again, redstatetalkradio.com. There's an article there. We don't have time to really go into it, but he kind of is that hinge vote. You know, he always kind of tips scales. Kennedy's the one we can never really figure out. And he said some things publicly about something else, but it kind of lends you to his thinking. And I'm thinking he may be siding with the conservatives in this case. If that's true, Obamacare could be in deep, deep, deep doo-doo. Which is good. Well,
I don't think there's any way you can side the other way, because that's...
Oh, yeah, you never know.
Using common sense, it just doesn't work in these matters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, John Roberts proved that. He went through legal gymnastics to come up with the ruling he did early. Okay, let's see here.
Are we out of time on this?
Yeah, we're out of time. Let's go ahead and go to break. And when we come back, we've got more to talk about. We're going to talk about the...
Yeah, don't miss the setup.
I will not miss setup. It's a good one. I'm telling you, I outdid myself on this one. So,
can hardly wait.
You can hardly wait. Okay, we'll be right back. Stick with us. Thank you for listening to Red State Town Hall.
Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
The commerce.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
America's premier grassroots conservative talk radio network.
Red State Talk Radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work from home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Mr. Speaker, get me a doctor.
The voice of American conservatism. WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Primo Mondone, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals.
Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month. So please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster. Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654.
Red State Talk Radio, the talk monster.
Okay, we're back. Federal appeals court is going to hear arguments on the immigration ruling. The Obama administration has requested this thing get pushed up the ladder. You know, this judge in Texas kind of put a kibosh on the whole thing just recently, a few weeks ago. But the Obama administration, they actually have requested this, and it's been accepted. The appeals court is going to hear the arguments on the immigration ruling. So, but here's the thing. If it doesn't go Obama's way, he'll request it be sent to straight to the Supreme Court. Of course, you know that'll happen if he doesn't get his way. And of course, here's the thing. If they have their way in the appeals court, then the people of Texas and all these other 25, 26 states will try to get to the Supreme Court anyway. So at some point, I think it's going to go to the Supreme Court, really, regardless. So, sometimes I wonder about our system to where you have like a district court or whatever, and then you go to the appeals court, and then you go to this court, and you keep going up the line until you eventually get to the Supreme Court. Now, I'm not saying that every case should go to the Supreme Court, but when you get one that's this big and has this much impact, sometimes I wonder if you should just pass up some of this stuff and go right straight to the thing. And, of course, sometimes they do that, and when they do that, usually the Supreme Court almost always, not always, but almost always, they will say, no, it needs to go through the appellate process, go back to the appellate court, and if everyone's not satisfied at that point, then we will consider taking it up. That's almost always what happens, except like I say, sometimes they don't. And so, anyway... what do you think? You think just any idea what's going to happen in the appellate court? Candy, do you think?
I have no clue.
Yeah, me either. yeah. Because like you say, here's the problem with judges and courts. These people are, if you're a federal judge, you're appointed for life. I mean, so if you have a political leaning, whether it be left or right.
That's it.
You know, it just depends on what judge you get and how strong his feelings are. And
you know, it's that way with anything, Primo.
I know.
I mean, divorces. You know, I went through a divorce, and you've gone through a couple and
several.
And it all depends on the judge. I mean,
yeah.
I remember my lawyer saying, "Well, we got this judge who's really good, you know, or this is really bad, or he's." Or he or she or, well, you know, I'm thinking, oh, great. It's all up to the judge.
Yeah. And the thing is, my attorney told me, he said, here's the thing. He said, I could He said, "You want me to blow smoke up your tail?" I said, "I can." He said, "But here's the problem. Here's the reality." He said, "Almost every judge you're ever going to get," he said, "are they always take the woman's side, always, because usually it's a woman who has the kids that's going to be stuck with the kids." He said, "So he said basically he said if you're the man in the divorce," he said the odds of getting a really fair deal, he said, "is just not going to happen." he said, and for good reason, he said, maybe. He said, but at the same time, he said, so take that fantasy out of your head that you're going to get a really fair shake on this whole thing. The reality is you'd be lucky to get out alive come with the other.
Well, I think I think now that's changed a little bit because.
Yeah, maybe it's not as bad as it was, you know.
Working and making, some, a lot of cases, making more than the man is.
Yeah. But, and, you know, just whatever. Oh, I'm not going to get into all my divorce stories, but still, yeah. But when it comes, what I'm getting at, the whole point was what we got off track there. The whole point is you would like to think that a federal judge, whether it be at the federal level, the Supreme Court level, whatever, you would think they would like to be able to interpret the law dispassionately and leave their political leanings at the door. But I don't even know if that's possible, to be honest. Because if your heart and soul believes in conservatism or progressive thought, if that's where you are, then that has to reflect upon your judgments. I mean, I don't see how it could not. Okay, now we're going to get to the good part. Let's talk about Ted Cruz, and then we'll lead into the whole natural born citizen supposedly controversy. First of all, Ted Cruz, the first person who actually says he's running for president. You know, he issued a tweet last Sunday night about midnight saying he was running. And he had a speech scheduled at Liberty University, which he gave a good speech. By the way, his speech was 35, 40 minutes, where it was, no teleprompter. And everyone has deemed it the Imagine speech, because all throughout the speech he goes, imagine a country where this is this and this is that. And just imagine. It was a good rhetorical way to do things. And Ted Cruz, you got to remember, this guy, first of all, he finished number one, head of his class at Harvard in law. Alan Dershowitz, who's a very liberal progressive professor, said that Ted Cruz is off the charts smart. Now, Alan Dershowitz and Ted Cruz are nothing alike, but he recognizes the guy's sharp. And Ted Cruz has argued cases before the Supreme Court 9 times. And in college, he was a great debater. I think he was in like a debate society. He was just fantastic. So the guy, A, he's sharp, and B, he knows how to put things, and C, he's been interviewed, of course, since he announced, by several progressives. And they tried to trap him on certain issues. And one thing about Cruz that I really liked is that when you ask him what they think is a controversial question, thinking, aha, I've got him, Ted Cruz always has a way of responding to where he doesn't call you an idiot and that you're stupid. He takes your question. He does this. He basically does this little thing sometimes where he kind of repeats the question and then answers it. But he does it in such a nice way. But the logic he uses is so firm and planted in his personal beliefs and his philosophy that it's really apparent once he answers the question that the guy was stupid to even ask it. I mean, he does it all the time.
I call it a Reaganism. He's got the Reaganism stuff going on, but the only thing he's missing, I think, is the humor that Reagan had. Reagan had a lot of humor that Ted maybe doesn't have.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, and he's I've seen him on several liberal media talk shows in front of not just one person had been interviewed him, but four or five of them around the table.
Exactly.
That are firing questions at him. And he handles himself very well.
I think he's going to be tough to trap. I mean, I just think that's the reality. And I've said this all along. I really like Ted Cruz. Again, there's no perfect candidate, but he is as close, at least in terms of what he said. We've talked about this, I don't know how many times. 100%. I hope I can believe the guy, but I do at this point. And virtually every position he's ever taken, I agree with. I mean, and I'm sure he'll come up with something that I'll say, well, that's stupid, Ted, you know, but I don't know. Thus far, it hadn't happened.
I look for not just a person that I believe in, but I want a person that I believe in and handles himself well, very articulate, can get his points across, yeah. And he does that. And Rubio does that. He's a very good, I think on my feet type person.
Right.
I look for that. I look for that kind of leadership, and you know, he something like you said off the at a left field, and he handles it like a charm.
Well, here's the good thing about what you just said. That quality of being able to be articulate and explain your position is vital in getting people like Reagan was able to do, getting those blue dog Democrats to vote for a Republican instead of just going straight down the ticket for a Democrat, because that's the only way. We've talked about this before. Yeah, you stick by your guns, but you convince the people in the middle, and maybe some on the other side, that your position is the right position, and you pull them to you. You don't jump over to them. You pull them to you. I've said this I don't know how many times. You know, this whole idea of running in the middle and running to the right and running to the left and trying to get this constituent and that constituent, bull. Mm-hmm. Be what you are. Do what you're going to say you're going to do. And tell the people the truth. I mean, God, that's one thing that Ted Cruz said. People want to know that you're telling the truth.
Hey, so look at the past history. McCain, Romney, Bob Dole. I mean, we're people that tried to run that middle of the line, play the middle of sit on top of the middle of the fence and and try to be the moderate.
Yeah, I know.
People don't want that.
Well, the thing is, you may gain a few people that way. That's true. But I guarantee you lose a lot more from your original base by doing that.
And they don't go out and vote. Because
they don't vote at all.
Yeah.
Because Ted Cruz pointed out in his speech when he announced at Liberty University, he announced that millions and millions and millions of Christians in the last couple of elections did not even go vote. And that's because they didn't think there was anybody there that had really believed in what they believed.
Yeah.
So, and Ted Cruz is unapologetically Christian. He refers to his faith quite a bit. Now, is he? I don't know. I don't know the man personally. You know, I guess we kind of have to take him at his word, but he sure does sound like one. I mean, he may be fooling us all, but, you know. Okay, now, we only have about 10 minutes left, so let's get this going here. The natural born citizen thing. Now, I know Brown hates this stuff.
I mean, let me just clarify that to me, it's a non-issue. To me, I think we're bumping our gums and even talking about it. I think it's just a waste of time. Okay. Now, Obama has, you know, if anyone that's have a question about his citizenship is Barack Hussein Obama.
And I agree.
Now we're talking about Ted Cruz and Bobby Jindal and whoever else you want to throw in the pile. And I'm thinking, just can we go on to something else, please? That's my feeling.
Yeah. Well, not this time.
Not this time. Of course not.
But I'll tell you what. I'm setting you up. We're going to do this and we might ever bring it up again, but I don't know. But here's the thing.
I hope not.
Here's the thing. Now, to be honest, the reason I bring this up now, first of all, I have gone back and forth on this issue over the last 2 weeks, even before Cruz announced, literally thinking that I believe that Ted Cruz was not a natural born citizen, that I believe that Ted Cruz, it doesn't matter, that legally he's okay. And then I believe, oh no, I need to go back to my original thing that he's not a natural born citizen. And I mean, I literally have gone back and forth at least three or four times, and I am not kidding you, because I've read stuff from constitutional scholars, I've listened to and read stuff from Mark Levin, who I greatly respect, Douglas Gibb, who used to be on this radio station. He's still on the West Coast radio stations. He's a constitutional scholar and teaches the Constitution. He thinks that Ted Cruz is not a natural born citizen. Mark Levin thinks that he is. I'm confused, but let me just run a couple things by. First thing, the term natural born citizen is not defined in the Constitution. That's a problem right there, first of all. And it's not really in the writings of the people who framed the Constitution, okay? And the Supreme Court has never actually ruled on that specific issue. They've ruled on things surrounding the issue, but not actually ruled on natural born citizen. And here's the thing that we can all, pretty much everybody can agree on. A person born in the United States to parents, both of whom are United States citizens, is a natural born citizen. Everybody agrees that's true. Okay? Number two, a person born outside the United States to parents, neither of whom is a United States citizen, is not a natural born citizen, even if they become a citizen later on. Because if both your parents are not citizens and you're born, whether you're and you're born outside the United States, you are not a natural born citizen. No way you'd qualify to be president. Okay, but here's the thing: Rubio, Genuine Cruz, all three fall between those two examples. Rubio and Jenna were born in the United States, but both of them, both their parents, were not citizens at the time they were born. That would be, to me, a really big problem for me. Cruz was born in Canada, but his mother was a United States citizen. His father, at the time of his birth, was Cuban. Okay? So, now, according to this guy, now this article that I linked to, by the way, on RedStateTalkRadio.com, it's huge. At the very beginning, he says Ted Cruz is okay for become president. But he says that because Rubio and Jindal, by virtue of the 14th Amendment, they're okay to run for president, and Cruz is okay to run by a statute that was passed after the Constitution was put in effect. So he basically saying all three of them are okay. Maybe he's right, but here's my question. Here's the hook. Here's the thing I've been wanting to spring on you and see what you think about, because I have not seen anybody else come up with this. So I'm claiming this. And you may not think it's that good, but whatever. Okay, here's the thing. George Washington was president from 1789 to 1797. He served two terms, okay? In 1797, when George Washington finished his term and we were going to elect a new president, if Ted Cruz were alive and he was born in Canada and his mother was an American citizen and his father was Cuban, do you think the founding fathers would have allowed him or tolerated him or even allowed him to become a candidate for president of the United States in 1797?
That's all the time we have, folks.
I knew it. When you put it like that, it's pretty tough.
I don't.
Think about it. Now, we just got through the War of Britain. We know the founding fathers didn't want anybody of split parentage being president of the United States. So in 1797, when Washington finished his first term and we're going to elect our second president, could Ted Cruz have possibly been allowed to run or even gotten enough votes to possibly win? Knowing that his
mom was a natural born citizen and she happened to be in Canada and had the baby.
Right, but his father was Cuban. Would they have tolerated? Let's just say the father was British. Let's add another layer to it. Let's pretend the father was British. So he had an American mother, a British father. Would they have allowed, and would he have possibly been allowed to run for president in 1797?
I'm going to surprise you here and say yes.
I think you're dead wrong.
No, I'm saying yes.
Too soon after the war, the British, after the Revolutionary War.
Where was Washington born, Primo?
He was born here in Virginia.
And his parents were from where?
Well, see, there's the difference.
There's the difference. His parents were from where?
They weren't from England.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that.
Well, here's the thing: they both lived in the United States, and
where were they born?
But see, since he was born in the United States, it automatically makes him a citizen. And the fact that, his father was not British, his mother was not British; they were Americans.
But where were they born?
I'm guessing Virginia.
His parents were born in Virginia?
Yeah, they were there for quite a while.
I don't know. I'm doing a little search on that, but I'm still going to stick to my guns on this.
Okay. All right. Let's put it this way. Let me put one more way. Don't you think that the whole crux of the forget what the law said, forget what the 14th Amendment says, forget what other laws have been passed beyond the Constitution. Do you think that the crux of the issue is, would the Founding Fathers have approved of anybody being president who had allegiance to two different countries?
No, that I agree with. There's no way.
Well, then Ted Cruz would not qualify based on that.
No, I'm not going to say that because he would have been raised here in the United States, and that's not the point with Obama. I'm not even sure Obama was born in the United States. I don't think he was born in Hawaii. If you want to ask the truth, I don't care if there's a birth certificate or whatever it is that they say that there is. I think that was totally false, made up. But that he was not raised here, and Cruz was.
Do you know, we're almost out of time. I don't know if you knew this or not. During Obama's rise to power from 2004 to 2008, do you know that Democrats put forth legislation 8 different times to change what the meaning, to actually define natural born citizen 8 times so that Obama would qualify?
I did not know that until I saw the video.
I sent to you. Okay, that's right. I just sent the video. I couldn't remember that. Mm. That I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that makes me wonder.
Makes you wonder about the whole conspiracy thing. Yeah.
Makes you wonder about what's going on right now that we don't know about.
Well, I hadn't planned on getting into this. We only got a minute. Did you see about this exercise in Florida where they had all these black helicopters and all that stuff, and they were rounding up citizens, and they were doing a training. Our military were doing a training exercise at night. And about this Jade Helm 15 thing that's going out in the Southwest in a couple months?
No, I haven't.
Well, if you want to really get spooky and start worrying about some stuff, Google Jade Helm, H-E-L-M 15. Google it. And I don't know.
You might have a hard time sleeping tonight.
Yeah, if you like conspiracy theories, it's a good one. So, and it is fact. It is happening. It's going to happen in our Southwest in just a couple months. That's it. We're out of time. Ken, you want to take us out?
If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We're out of here. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.